96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. In the wake of the Harvey Weinstein scandal, more and more victims of sexual harassment and assault are coming forward. And so are the admissions and apologies from perpetrators. Well, the latest high-profile admission comes from Oscar-winning actor and star of House of Cards, Kevin Spacey. He is now in treatment after he was accused of sexual misconduct last week. 46-year-old actor Anthony Rapp accused Spacey of making aggressive, unwanted sexual advances when Rapp was only 14 years old. For his part, Spacey apologized but said he didn't remember the incident, calling it deeply inappropriate drunken behavior. He also said in his statement, "I have had relationships with both men and women, and I choose now to live as a gay man." Well, tonight we talk about Kevin Spacey and the uproar he has caused. My guests are Darren Phelps, a gay rights activist and pastor of Bethel Christian Church in Washington, D.C., and Dr. Amelia Hall, psychologist and mental health consultant. Lines are open. Give us a call if you have a question or comment at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Certainly, you can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Darren Phelps, Dr. Hall, thank you both for coming. I appreciate it.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Darren, let me start with you. Kind of put together what the issue is regarding Kevin Spacey and his admission and also his coming out.
Well, again, thank you for this conversation and
sure.
Certainly to your listeners. I know that this has triggered many of the folks that are in the LGBTQI community. There are a few things that I think that we should bring in the forefront before we could even deal with the Kevin Spaceys of the world. Certainly, this is an egregious act anytime we see sexual assault of any kind. But now we are seeing a couple of things that I think that we need to address.
One is how
in his quote-unquote apology, there are many folks who believe, and I certainly believe, that there is an effort to deflect from the truth of what he actually did. Number two, this was sexual unwanted advances with a minor. And then three, the other issue that I believe needs to be lifted up is that in many ways, this perpetrates and gives energy and fuel to folks who do not like or are comfortable with the LGBT people around pedophilia. And so this fuels what people think we are. Let me be clear to you. I am an out gay African-American Pentecostal pastor, and I'm proud. I see my sexual orientation as a gift from God, and I understand who I am. But I also understand that after we sort of deal with that, then we still have to deal with that what he did had nothing to do with same-gender love. This was abusive. This was unwanted sexual harassment. And myself, I have been many, many years ago, have been both the recipient and participant in unwanted acts. Mm-hmm. And so I know what that is. But to write what I would call a backhanded apology is problematic. If you're going to be apologetic, you need to say, "I'm sorry." You can't then slap me and then say, "Oh, I was drunk. Oh, I'm gay." Because what this does now is for folks like me who worked for years in being whole and out and complete, it says what? Do I now question my sexuality, or do I blame drunkenness on being gay, or do I then, as Mr. Rapp has to wrestle with, my sexuality because of advances towards me?
So let me make sure I'm clear, because you said a mouthful. So that would be like, you know, me saying, for example, if someone accused me of sexual assault, and I said, "Well, I don't remember it. But if indeed what you say is true, I apologize. Oh, and by the way, I'm straight."
Well, one thing I know for me, and I can only speak my eyes.
Associating my sexuality with a sexual assault.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And there are some clear differences that I want to be clear. First of all, there are people who just want to have sexual pleasure. Mm-hmm. They're not necessarily dealing with their sexual identities. And then there are some people who are just what I would call the W word with the E at the end. I'll be nice for your listeners, but that's called a hoe, right?
Oh, I
so
see.
So people who just like to do what they do. Mm-hmm. They're not folks, my poor members who are listening, bless you. There's a very difference than people who are exploring and trying to learn who they are. I don't see that. Not that he has to prove anything to me, but the nature of waking up 30 years later because someone tells you what they did, I wouldn't apologize if I knew that I didn't do something. But because there's truth in it, he has to come clean.
But Dr. Hall, why has this raised such a huge issue? Is it because of his celebrity, of Kevin Spacey's celebrity, you think, that really has raised the ire of people in the gay community?
I think so. He has in his position an opportunity to really rally behind, if he is a member of the community, he really has an opportunity to uplift the community and rally behind and support the community. And in this instance, I wholeheartedly agree. I believe he used this opportunity to highlight the LGBTQI community in a negative fashion. It really set the community back, to be quite honest with you.
Explain
about,
that.
About 44 years.
Explain what you mean by that.
The LGBTQ community has really made such progress with gay marriage being legalized and so many other pivotal moments in the LGBT community. When I say he set it back, he literally equated homosexuality to pedophilia.
Mm-hmm.
And it's inappropriate. And I totally agree. It would have been more appropriate to lead the conversation with an apology for those behaviors.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about actor Kevin Spacey and the uproar he has caused in the gay community, apologizing for an accusation of sexual misconduct with a teenager decades ago, and also coming out as a gay man at the same time. If you have a question, if you have a comment, lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Okay, now, Darren, here's the thing, and you can clarify this, you know, for me also. It's my understanding that when people decide to come out, that it's a highly personal choice. It's an extremely difficult choice. And while Kevin Spacey has said that there are people close to him who knew, but he still wasn't public. Should he have waited? Is that something that you could say, as a member, as an activist, looking out, looking from the inside in, could you have said, well, man, why couldn't you have apologized this week and come out next week? Was that even an appropriate thing to do? You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, let me say a couple of things, certainly, and I'm going to be brief because this is a lot to unpack, right? First of all, people get to choose when and how they come out.
Absolutely.
And coming out is an ongoing process. I'm still coming out, even though I've been out for many years. There are people around me that I have to explain and give information to, those that I want to maintain healthy relationships. There are people who make decisions to not be involved and connected to me, and that's also okay, right? But the reality is that we also got to talk about his white male privilege. We've got to talk about other stuff that's embedded in this. I'm an African-American man. There are different things that are attached to my sexuality and my sexual orientation that's unlike than what he has to deal with. So that is important. And he has the right, just like anyone has the right, to live what I call a private life, but not be destructive, right? Not be abusive. Absolutely. That's where I draw the line. You can live a private life. I am private, but I'm not secretive. Everything that I do or how I am is not on Facebook. Now, the other thing that I share, and I share this a lot with my congregation, you can still be same gender loving. You could still be gay, transgender, bisexual, and never perform a sexual act with another person.
Mm-hmm.
You could absolutely could be that person. So to then for him to decide that, yes, I have been with women, with children, I don't really care what he labels himself. You know, I really don't. What I'm concerned about is what my sister was saying about how it's set back and how it has made us rethink people. And what I'm concerned about is people who are trying to come out and be clear in their authentic self.
Absolutely.
Let me go to the phone lines real quick. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Michael calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling, Michael. What's on your mind?
Yeah. My comment is I'm not condoning at all what Kevin Spacey did. I think if he did do it, it was actually horrible. But I think still there are a lot of questions to be asked. This incident happened 30 years ago. So on both sides, both the perpetrator and the victim, my question would be, why are you both waiting 30 years later to raise this event now? And again, we have to consider about Kevin Spacey's career, the industry he's actually in. And there are questions even about the parents. If it's a 14-year-old boy at a party, and somehow Kevin Spacey goes to the bedroom and he's there, where were the parents, how they're located at? And so again, I think it's very easy to place blame, but there are a lot of unanswered questions that we have to look at from a 3-decade-old event to figure out what happened. Mm-hmm. And again, Kevin Spacey, there's been rumors about his sexuality for years. He's gay or not gay. So him coming out, on one hand, is a positive thing. He actually did come out. He's a big celebrity that brings it up. Now, yeah, the situation is horrible why he came out. But again, my concern again is 30 years later for them both to come out, what's the motive on both the side of the perpetrator and the victim in this case? It didn't happen yesterday.
Well, Michael, I want Dr. Hall to at least try to address some of that before I go to the break. I've got about a minute. Dr. Hall.
Yes, Michael, you're absolutely right. Where were the parents? And, you know, our parents came from a generation where these topics were taboo, quite honestly. And they didn't have the language to describe to their children what's appropriate with regard to boundaries, what's appropriate with regard to sexuality, explaining sex to their children. So it could have quite honestly been a situation where this gentleman did not have the language to express to his parents that this is what was happening to him at that moment. And, you know, coming from developmentally, he was in a place as a child at that age where he really was kind of developing autonomy and wanting to be an adult and come into his own, thinking he can handle things on his own. And that's developmentally speaking where we all were at that age. So it's a lot of things
Hold on. And the other piece, and I think it needs to be mentioned, and I think it's, and maybe he missed it, but, you know, the issue with Harvey Weinstein mm-hmm. was an open secret mm-hmm. in Hollywood mm-hmm. until sure. one woman came forward, and then there was this flood of women, some 60 women now that,
right.
and counting, that have accused him, and then there were others who were either accused or decided to come forward and say, yes, I behaved badly in the least, or yes, I did some really, really bad. And even Dustin Hoffman, another yes. beloved actor mm-hmm. in Hollywood, admitted just this week that he had behaved badly. Darren, hold your point. I've got to take a break.
Okay.
But I want to let our listeners know. JP from Maryland, stay on the line. Mr. Parker in D.C., Tracy in Bowie, please do not hang up. You will have your phone call answered. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Do not hang up. You'll hear the program. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a few seconds. Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we continue our conversation about actor Kevin Spacey and the uproar he has caused in the gay community, apologizing after he was accused of sexual misconduct with a teenager decades ago, and at the same time coming out as a gay man. My guests are Darren Phelps, a gay rights activist and pastor of Bethel Christian Church here in Washington, D.C., and Dr. Amelia Hall, psychologist and a mental health consultant. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you can't get through, please keep trying. I promise we will get to your phone calls. A lot of folks want to get in on this. Darren, there was a point that you wanted to make before I go back to the phone.
Sure, and I'll be brief. You know, I thank you for the caller who raised the question and the concern about both the time and the space. But I want to raise two things. One, for the young guy who was, you know, 14 years old at the time, he was a minor. Mm-hmm. And we have to recognize that even though it's taken 20 years or 30 years or 40 years, we all have triggers. And there will be different moments in our lives where we will either try to squash it, move it, medicate it, whatever it is, so that we don't feel the brunt of the pain that has happened. And there are many times where you overcome one thing, and once you overcome that, it releases something else that you realize that you've compacted for years. The second thing that I want to share to the caller is, who was the adult in the room? So we don't know the circumstances of what was happening. So this notion around you know, a child and a minor, we don't know under what circumstances was there. Was it the enticement of money, power, white privilege? What was going on in Hollywood, right, that allowed this space in this time? Don't ask, don't tell environment. But Kevin Spacey was the adult. Mm-hmm. And that is the bottom line on that piece.
Totally agree. I totally agree. In adolescence, during those teenage years, we're really in a place where we're developing our sexual identity. We haven't developed yet higher cognitive functioning or executive functioning that adults have. That doesn't really develop in our brain until we're between the ages of 23 and 25, which means that we're very impressionable. We know what's right from wrong, but we aren't able to process that further. So I totally agree. Kevin Spacey was the adult, and he quite possibly took advantage of that opportunity to engage with Mr. Rapp in that way.
Drunk or sober, he should have known that.
Absolutely.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tracy calling from Bowie. Tracy, thanks for calling. And please turn your radio down and what's on your mind. Tracy, go right ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to just comment on something that Pastor Darren said, and mm-hmm. I believe Dr. Hall and the gentleman who called in quickly, is that, one, I absolutely understand what Dr. Hall is saying, that it, you know, set the LGBTQ community back about 44 years, because, you know, as a heterosexual woman married with two kids, I consider myself, you know, educated and open-minded. But when Kevin Spacey came out the way he did, and I have no problems with him coming out or when he did, but, you know, equating, you know, using that as an excuse for us finding out this 14-year-old boy, you know, my thing is, gay, straight, or whatever, you don't have a right to be with a minor or put your hand on a minor. So I totally agree with Dr. Hall on that. As far as the gentleman who called and said, well, what's the motive for coming out 20, 30, 40 years later? You know, I thought that myself, starting with the women in Bill Cosby, and I had to check myself because, you know, anything can be a trigger, and I imagine that there is no statute of limitations on grief or being hurt. And everybody has a right to be heard no matter when that manifests itself. Mm-hmm. So those are the only comments that I wanted to make.
Well said, Tracy. Thank you so much for sharing in this conversation. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Mr. Parker calling from D.C. Mr. Parker, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, I'm enjoying this show.
Thank you.
I just want to say that, you know, we talk about this being 20, 30 years ago. We also got to understand that time period in history, whereas we did not have access to immediate real-time information like we do, number one. And number two, we have to be honest with ourselves, if this is a coming out issue, or is it an actual practice? Was it an actual ritual that took place in many institutions, one being Hollywood, one being the entertainment industry, where this just wasn't a one-time occurrence between a man and a boy, but this is an actual ritual that has gone on in Hollywood between men and boys, women and girls, the whole nine yards. So I think the bigger picture is, sadly, he should not have tied him being gay. Him being gay has nothing to do with this. That was what was done was wrong. But the bigger issue is, we live in an information age now, and the taboo and dark secrets of past industries are now starting to come to light.
Well, let me say this about that, and then I'll have, you know, Darren start, and if Dr. Hall wants to comment, you know, when you say, you know, you know, ritual, and I don't take issue with the use of the word in the context of sexually inappropriate behavior in Tinseltown industry, because, you know, I would venture to say that this isn't about this quote unquote ritual, as you describe it, between a grown man and a boy. I would say, it, you know, based on what we're hearing about Harvey Weinstein, that inappropriate sexual behavior between the powerful and the powerless is really the issue. How am I doing, Darren?
I think you're doing all right. I'll raise an offering for you if that's all right. but we'll have to split it 50-50 today. But, you know, and I'm glad you brought that up about the power and the powerless, because I sit and when I listen to the news, and I am a news junkie and I'm trying to recover from that, 45 doesn't make it really easy for me.
That's all right.
And so when we advance to this, there is this systemic normality, if you will, that it's okay for heterosexual people to be abusive to our women, wow, to our children, and to our girls, and even say egregious things out of our mouths. But then when someone who is struggling, and I don't know if this is the case for Mr. Spacey or other folks who may be struggling with their sexual identities, then they want to throw the gay card. Well, I'm gay, and then now I'm going to treatment. Treatment for what? What,
I was gonna
what
say,
in
I was
the
gonna
world
speak.
Go are ahead. You going to treatment yeah. for? You know, I would love to sit and be a fly on the wall and know what the treatment is, because sure. if it's about coming out, then you're going to have to go back and repent, not just apologize, right, to all of the people and places that you abused because you were busy trying to either get your rocks off, feel good, be abusive, get power, use your privilege. The list goes on and on to people and places in power. But that's the reality, right? This is where we are. You don't get to sit in a van in 2017 and talk about what you do with women and then say it's locker room talk. Mm-hmm. No more than you can do it with LGBT community. What is wrong, doesn't matter who you are, but you don't get to then say, I'm gay.
Mr. Parker, thank you so much for your phone call. On that therapy piece, because, and this is, you know, one of the things I wanted to get to with Dr. Hall, Harvey Weinstein, at last report, was in therapy. And now Kevin Spacey, also in therapy. Real quick, before we get into the answer of the question, you know, Dr. Hall, you're not just, you know, any old psychologist. Your dissertation focused on issues. Tell me briefly about that, and then talk about what that therapy might be like, or is that just an excuse to deal with the difficulty of the situation?
So, with regard to my research, it's in the area of exploring how religious views of homosexuality impact LGB persons. And so this case in particular was very striking for me because homosexuality at one point in what we call the Bible of mental health, the DSM, was once mm-hmm. labeled as a mental illness. And it really creates, exacerbates the stigma and the discrimination that's out there with regard to homosexuality. And that's one of the reasons why I said it really is taking us back. So just really disturbed at how, I'm not sure if it's a... you know, something that his publicist has recommended that he do, say that he's now in treatment. But if Mr. Spacey really is in treatment, I wish him all the best, and I hope that he's getting what he needs. And a part of what he should focus on, per my recommendation, is to really go back into his childhood and explore his development with regard to psychosexual behaviors and sexual identity, and how his experiences in childhood may have impacted the way that he is engaged with Mr. Rapp for all those years.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Diana calling from College Park. Diana, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, good evening. I'm really enjoying the show as well. This is very important. But I'm very disappointed in Hollywood as a whole. I mean, This is really beyond, you know, anyone's scope of imagination regarding how poorly people act and as far as sexual harassment, but what people get away with. I'm more concerned with the way that people never spoke up and this has been 30 years in the making. You know, now we hear that the gentleman from that 70s show, Danny Masterson, he raped two women, and, you know, whether they're Scientologists or not, or they were part of, you know, they were Scientologists, or whatever the case may have been, it's the fact that people have let these people get away with it. And this is what bothers me, because it's beyond unethical and it's beyond disgusting.
But let me say this, Diana, not to belittle your point about being disappointed in Hollywood, but I think that if you're disappointed in Hollywood, then you'll be disappointed if you decide to tour Capitol Hill, or perhaps
Absolutely.
You decide to tour corporate America, or perhaps if you decide to go to church on Sunday, or perhaps if you walk on a college campus, or perhaps if you just walk down the street. This happens.
I understand.
Yeah.
I do understand that. However, I mean, and that goes across the board.
Mm-hmm.
It actually goes across the board, because, you know, the theory is, okay, you see something wrong, say something.
And
but
so,
I mean, where was everyone? If it was such an open secret, you know, just like with on Capitol Hill, just like when your church, just like on college campuses, as you said, I mean, what world are we living in? And I guess I'm idealistic. Maybe I want a utopian society so really bad. But I mean, where are we living that, you know, it's an open secret that Harvey Weinstein has, or somebody else that people may know, have attacked someone mm-hmm. sexually, and they're allowed to go on as if nothing ever happened.
Dr. Hall.
I mean, and that's why I guess I'm a little bit upset, and I find this incredibly hypocritical, and I do find it hypocritical of Kevin Spacey to come out, you know, boom, just like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, when...
Well, let me have Dr. Hall address your point. Go right ahead.
So just to jump in here, it is, ideally, if you see something, you say something, that would make sense. But it's much harder than you would think. Surprisingly, 1 in 10 children are sexually abused, mm-hmm. whether mm-hmm. you're gay, straight, or the like. 1 in 10 children currently are being sexually assaulted. And over 90% of the people who are being assaulted know their abuser. And going back in Mr. Rapp's history, that abuse for him, it sounds like it started with an older cousin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is something that is going on globally, and it's not just isolated to the LGB community. It's really about education.
Right.
And so I really want to get into, and hopefully later on we'll start talking about some of the things that we can do to prevent sexual abuse, childhood sexual abuse, and to encourage people to speak up. And I believe it's everyone's responsibility. I'm a mandated reporter as a clinical therapist. However, it should be everyone's responsibility to, if you see something, say something.
Mm-hmm. Well, Diana, thank you so much. And continue to be upset about it, because what you've described and what I've described, you know, is wrong. So thank you so much. I've got a minute. Go right ahead.
So very quickly, I also wanted to add two other caveats to this conversation. And thank you for the caller that just raised that. So I believe that while there's not a saying something, a collaborative outcry of what's going on, because people as a whole, and I'm speaking in general terms, so I apologize for that, do not see women as equal, or as seeing women as the leaders and God's gift to the world. And then certainly you're going to have problems with the LGBT community. So if you don't see us as equal, then that goes back to the power playing of the world. And then it's okay for men to do whatever they do, white men to do what they're doing. And I'm certainly not at a place where, you know, I talk bad about any particular people, but we're talking about this Hollywood, right? We're talking about this particular genre and this scene. And you've got to wonder who's fighting for the women and who are fighting for the LGBT community. And then you then deal with people of color and then people who are impoverished, right? So then all of that's compact. You know, and we've got to deal with all of that. We've got to talk about that. So that's part of the reason why you don't see the consistent outcry, because people would not be bothered if they saw someone slap someone on the street. You know, there's not an outrage. Either we've gotten numb to it, we've gotten used to it, or we would begin to blame that person. And we've got to stop doing that.
I need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to JP calling from Maryland. JP, stay with us. We will get to you immediately after the break. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about actor Kevin Spacey and the uproar he's caused in the gay community, apologizing for sexual misconduct with a teenager decades ago and coming out as a gay man. I want to go back to the phone lines at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. JP calling from Maryland. Thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind?
Yes. I was listening to your program. I enjoy your program.
Thank you so much.
I think it's need to be discussed. When I was about 14 years old, I was getting off from work one evening, and I had a after-school job, and I was hitchhiking a ride, and the white male picked me up, offered me a ride, so I jumped in the car, and he proceeded to talk, like small talk, and then he asked me, offered me some money. So I asked him I thought he wanted me to do some chores, like cut his grass or mow his lawn, cut some wood or something like that. Well, I grew up down south. However, he told me he was just going to give me some money just to ride. So, and I know the money that he offered me was like, hey, back in those days, people just don't give you that kind of money just to ride around. So he kept on being persistent about offering me money. So I said, well, what's going on? I didn't understand it. So he offered me $500 to do an oral act on me, and I'm a heterosexual man. I don't believe in that. I wasn't raised into that. I had no knowledge of that. That terrified me. So I immediately asked him to stop the car. He refused to stop the car. So when he got to a caution, yellow light, he had to slow down. So I jumped out, proceeded to jump out of his car while the car was still rolling, and ran straight home without nonstop and told my parents. Well, needless to say, my parents threatened to,
hurt him.
My behind if I ever did that again, jump in anyone's car without, without knowing who I was getting in the car with. But fast forward it. Now, I'm a grown man, I'm an adult.
Yeah.
I see it happen. This is happening. It's not just in Hollywood. It's happening nationwide. It's a worldwide problem.
Right.
I find that it's mostly white men that does stuff like that.
But hold on, because, you know, and let me stop you there, JP, because I would argue that's not the case. Let me say this, and I appreciate your being very candid and transparent about this difficult experience, but race, Darren, I would argue, has nothing to do with bad behavior.
Absolutely. The gentleman who tried to fondle me, entice me, most times they were not non-white. They were African-American. And that is my truth and my history. But again, I just want to lift up the person who was on the call and how he is remembering this egregious act, this abusive, potential life-threatening act that happened many, many years ago, and how you can speak to it with such great detail and could even hear the pain and the frustration. We've got to stop that. We've got to begin to shift the narrative and empower everyone, not just our children and our youth, to not be silent, not to hide, because the more you try to hide the pain, it's only going to give birth to other pain, and it's going to just flow into every aspect of our lives.
JP, thank you so much for your phone call. Dr. Hall.
I was just going to add to that, JP, that you have an opportunity to seek counseling for yourself and resolve some of those experiences that you had, and also give that information to the younger children in your life, whether it be your children, your nieces, nephews, grandchildren, to prepare them for what they could face out in the community and how they can protect themselves.
Before the break, you talked about addressing the, you know, the issue of, I believe it was healing, mm-hmm. or prevention.
Yes.
I think that's one of the things. Talk to me a little bit more, not only about that, but also as we talk about our growth in dealing with our own prejudices and perceptions of people that are different than we are.
Yes. So in with regard to protecting individuals from sexual abuse, we have to first know the facts. We talked a little bit about that earlier, you know, where this abuse is coming from. 90% comes from folks that we know. And that is a striking statistic. These folks may be grooming your children right before your eyes and you're not aware of it. So just being cautious of whom you're allowing to spend time with your children, and minimizing the opportunities. Oftentimes I work with, in the therapy room, I work with patients, and they tell me all the time their parents allow them to go here and there with these adults. And when you inquire as to who the adults are, they're random folks. So just minimizing opportunities for your children to be assaulted in these ways. So eliminating or reducing isolated experiences or one-on-one situations, that will most certainly decrease the risk for abuse. And talking about it, you know, I always recommend that parents start talking to their children around the age of 8 years old about what sex is, what their body parts are, and, you know, just talking about it. Parents do not talk to their children about sex. And I always ask them, well, who do you think they're getting the information from? They're getting it from TV. They're getting it from their peers. And it's inappropriate information. So you want to be the one that's fostering those conversations with your children and explaining to them what sex is, what appropriate boundaries are, what appropriate touch is. That information needs to come from parents so that when these things are happening, they can know that something is wrong here, can red flag, and they can know who they can go to and express these things to.
Mm-hmm. And the other piece, Darren, is, you know, outside, as has been, you know, the point of this conversation, you know, outside of inappropriate or criminal, you know, behavior, you know, what kind of conversations do you have when, you know, when it comes to, the LGBT community and, you know, for those that are, you know, that are straight, and when they are, you know, completely, you know, against, you know, the way that you live your life, who you love, whether, or maybe even they are conflicted about how they feel because of this same kind of Kevin Spacey setting the community back decades. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you deal with that?
Sure. So, and I want to just real quickly just piggyback on that, and then I'll go back to your point, is that, you know, one of the things I would tell my children when they were getting of age is that if it doesn't feel right, 9 times out of 10, it's not right.
Right.
You know, and that to me is something that we all can live by,
sure.
Right? Because we have been in situations, and I say we, where we've just known something wasn't right.
Absolutely.
And to follow that gut, you don't have to have a doctorate degree to know you need to get the ham fat out of this environment. Now, to your question that you raised, that we need another hour. I would love to come back
well,
and talk.
You've got, you know, 3 minutes.
I'm going to take 2.5. How about that? 2.5 is this. There's the quick answer is there's not a simple answer. Mm-hmm. Because the coming out is a process, right? And there are some who have been kicked out. There are some who had to run away. There are some who have a plethora of mental health, substance abuse, systemic issues that are in their family, in their work, in their school. There are some who left in healthy ways, but then their home environment or their community environments were not healthy, and they decided they were not going to go back. And there are some who were late bloomers and made some decisions based on their their awakening, and then some who were young and snapped their fingers in a circle and said, I don't really care what you think, and this is where I'm going to move. Remember, the community, the LGBTQI community, is a smorgasbord of great gifts and opportunities and beauties. So there isn't one coming out story. But what I will say is, under no circumstances should we stand for violence or perpetrating anything or lose our soul. But I do know, and I want to say this to our listeners, the unfortunate struggle that I have in the work that I do in my faith-based social justice lens is that there are some people in the LGBT community, not just young people, but even older people, who've had to compromise themselves, been forced into situations because they would be homeless or they wouldn't have health care or they wouldn't have some of the basic needs of life, you know, and they had to make some tough choices. And how horrible that is, that the community has forced LGBT community to live that way.
I've got to get this in, and I'm sorry for...
No, that's really, fine.
The statement that he made, There's a line, and he says, I choose now to live as a gay man. You got a problem with that statement?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Go ahead, real quick.
Again, you're asking for an hour conversation, my brother, but I'm going to give you 2 minutes.
You got one.
Being gay. Didn't I earn from the other conversation?
No.
I don't know.
No.
It's like a bank. Anyway, I'm losing time. We do get choices, right, in our lives, but no one chooses to be gay. We didn't wake up one day and say, I'm going to be in a community where people are going to be 9 times out of 10, and maybe my numbers are off, you can correct me, where they're not going to like me. I know within the African-American churches and faith base, you hear more negativity from the pulpit, even though those pastors sometimes would want to do sexual activities. That's another conversation, right? Another thing. But the reality is, you don't get to choose, but you do get to choose how you live your life in a holistic way. So once you find out that I am or you are trans, gay, bisexual, queer, gender nonconforming, you can then make the steps. You can collaborate. You can work. You can find those spaces to give you the healthy support, mental health, substance abuse, whatever those things are, so that you can recover and live, right? Mm-hmm. But the reality is the way we saw this and the way I read it, and I've learned to read, I even taught kindergarten for a little bit, is a backhand apology. Oh, I'm gay, so maybe that's why I did it. Oh, I was drunk, and that's what I did.
Darren Phelps and Dr. Amelia Hall, thank you so much for sharing. I need to bring you both back, you know, for a whole bunch of other, you know, conversations. As Darren said, we need another hour, but it was a pleasure having you both, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Thursday, November 2nd. I'm Harold Fisher. Certainly, you can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night. The house.